Welcome to Hunt Springs Baptist Church, and welcome also to Coolwater Cowboy Church. We're happy that you could join us today online for our Easter service. As we gather this morning and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, a familiar song comes to my mind which says, "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. And because I know He holds the future and life is worth the living, just because He lives." Today I want us to talk about how we can face tomorrow. Face tomorrow in the uncertainties of our situation. Face tomorrow when we're unsure what exactly God is doing to help us in this time of this pandemic. There's a lot that goes on in this lifetime that we don't understand. But also Jesus reminded the disciples in John 14:15 that the world will not see me. But Jesus promises there in verse 19 of chapter 14 of John that we will see Jesus. We will know that Jesus is with us. He says, "Because I live, you also can live." There's a lot of things in life that like to rob us of our hope in Jesus Christ, our hope in the resurrection. It's easy for us to lose hope as the world loses hope. We can easily lose hope in times of uncertainty. The uncertainty of our situation can rob us of our hope. Diminished expectations can cause us to doubt that God has even included us in His plans. Troubles and fears sometimes arise in our heart, in our minds. And when that happens, it seems to steal the hope of any peace that we've been looking for. The truth of the resurrection provides us with three expectations when we lose hope. Let us pray. Kind Father, we thank You that we can gather together today in the power of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank You today and ask that You would be with us, that You would guide and direct us. And Lord, that when we are uncertain of our situation, when we are uncertain of what to do next, Lord, we trust today that You will send us a word. Lord, we ask that You would personally engage us, Lord, next week, anytime we start to lose our hope. And Lord, we ask that You would just open our minds these next few minutes to Your Word, that Your Word would indwell us and live in us, that we may live and experience the power of the resurrection in our life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you will, look at me with me this morning in Luke's Gospel. It's a familiar text for Easter. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. This morning, I want us to look at three expectations that we can have when we begin to lose hope. We can expect God to bring about these three actions in our lives when we lose hope, when we let doubt defeat our dreams, when we're not really fully living and facing our fears and our troubles in the power of the resurrection. As we look at chapter 24, we see three different encounters here on the first Easter morning, three different encounters on the day that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead for our justification of sin. And as we look at this, beginning in verse 1, I want us to learn to expect Jesus to send us a word when we are uncertain of our circumstance or our situation. This morning, there's a lot of things that going on that we don't quite understand. We're uncertain what's going to happen tomorrow as they change the stay-at-home mandates, the travel mandates. We're uncertain about all this. But look with me to verse 1 of chapter 24. It says, on the first day of week, this was on Sunday, it says, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing spices, which they had prepared. And when they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothes. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and they returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. Let us expect Jesus to send us a word. Let's expect God to send us a word in times of uncertainty. When we are uncertain about the situation, this is what the ladies was doing. These are the women that had devoted their livelihood, their time to ministering to Jesus, to the disciples. They had followed Jesus. They had followed him, ministering to him and to others from Galilee. They had watched Jesus be buried. Then the Sabbath day come. It was nothing they could do but wait from Friday to Sunday. So what did they do? They prepared spices so that they could go and pay their respects to the grave of their Messiah, of their promised one. They did the only thing that they knew to do. They was going to go and pay respects. But we find that they was uncertain exactly what to do. But when they got there, they found that the stone was rolled away. And when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. And it says they were perplexed, or they were uncertain of what's going on. They had lost hope. All their hope had been centered on Jesus. They had watched him be crucified. They had watched him be buried. And now the only thing left to do is for them to go and pay their respects. Much like we do when we carry flowers to a graveside, or to have flowers sent to a funeral. It was a time of mourning, a time of uncertainty. But when they got there, they said, you know, what is going on? The body's not even here. What are we going to do next? And then it says that two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothes. This reminds us much of the glory of God. We know it from the Transfiguration. Jesus was there in dazzling clothes. Here we know that they are messengers of God. We know that the women were terrified. They bowed their faces to the ground. And when they did, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead?" You know, a lot of times we think about God helping us. We think about what God will do in our troubled times, in times of uncertainty. But, you know, we kind of treat him like he's among the dead. You know, we kind of pay our respects. We might come to church. We might sit in the pew. We might listen. We might even go home and read our Bible. We might read our Bible just looking for some information, but we're not really looking for an understanding. Here, what we need to understand is that God is willing to send us a word of encouragement, a word of strength, and a word of truth. These angels appeared to these women and they said, "Why are you looking for Jesus among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." That is the power of the resurrection. They said, "Do you not remember what he told you and how he spoke to you while he was in Galilee?" They commanded them to remember this. And verse 8 says, when they remembered his words. They remembered his words, and when they remembered his words, they could face the uncertainty of tomorrow. They didn't know what to do that morning before light. They went to the grave not knowing what to expect. They was uncertain. But when they remembered Jesus' teaching, that Jesus had told them that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, that Jesus would be crucified, but on the third day he would rise again, they turned around and went back into Jerusalem with certainty that because of the power and the truth of the resurrection, they could face tomorrow. One theologian says it this way: with the cross, Jesus wrote the check for the payment of our sin. And with the resurrection, Jesus gave us a receipt. A receipt that all our sins have been paid. Nothing is left owing. We can face tomorrow with the certainty that no matter what happens, Jesus will be with us. Jesus will give us a word. When you're uncertain in life, each of us should have a life verse. A verse that means something to us. A verse that reminds us that God is with us. God is willing to help us. That God intervenes in our lives. We all need a life verse. Mine, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up to me. You may have a favorite verse or a life verse, a life that you can always go to when things get tough. You need to remember that Jesus says, the world may not see me any longer, but you will. Because I live, you can live also. That is the promise that we have from Jesus. You might have a verse like Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? We all need to know that in times of uncertainty, God is willing to send us a word. And that word was Jesus Christ. As we think about what is going on here, we see what happens. Peter, it says, got up and ran to the tomb. The Life Application Bible gives us four stages of that people go through when they encounter the resurrection. First, they just dismiss the resurrection as impossible or as nonsense. It says here in verse 11 that when the ladies went back, they had this word of promise, and they told to the disciples and the apostles, and they thought it was nonsense. But, you know, once you get over thinking, well, this is a fairy tale, it can't really help me, we come to the next stage, as Peter did. We want to investigate the resurrection ourselves. You know, we may investigate it, but still be puzzled. Peter got up and ran to check out the tomb. He found the tomb open. He found the tomb empty. But he found that the promises of Scripture had been fulfilled in Christ. But he was still puzzled at how this would work out. It says he went away to his home marveling at what had happened. Second, we can expect Jesus to personally engage us when we lose hope. To personally engage us. When we lose hope, we see two more disciples here. You know, sometimes when we lose hope, we retreat. We give up. We return to what we was doing before. We just want to go home and sit down. This is what happened to these disciples. It says, and behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were walking and talking with one another about all the things that had taken place. And it says here that while they were walking and discussing these things, that Jesus himself approached them and began traveling with them. Look, we can expect Jesus to personally engage us when our hope is lost. It says here that their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. This idea or understanding of their eyes being prevented from recognizing him, it's in the passive here. It's a divine passive. In other words, it wasn't that they wasn't paying attention. It was God had prevented them from recognizing Jesus as who he was, their Savior, their Lord. Sometimes when the Lord prevents us from understanding or recognizing where he's working at in our lives or how he's working at in our situation, it's because he's using that moment in time to teach us something about him and about ourselves. He's using that time to teach us something about our relationship with Him. Often, Jesus prevents us from understanding and knowing exactly what He's doing, so He can use that as an opportunity to deepen our desire to stay close to Him. He said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you walk in?" This idea of exchanging is the idea like them tossing a ball back and forth to one another. They bouncing these ideas off each other. They throwing these words back and forth. And Jesus asked them, "Look, what are you talking about?" And it says they stood there still, looking sad. They looked at Jesus, sad, downtrodden, downcast. Their dreams was diminished. They had lost all hope. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have taken place or which have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and in word, in sight of God and of all people, and how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it was the third day since these things happened." They're downcast. Their hope, they've lost hope. Their dreams have diminished. But how often do we do this? We're expecting God to intervene. We trust God with our lives. We trust God to take care of us. Yet when things get really tough, when the expectations that we had to deliver ourselves from the situation, or the expectations we had of how God would deliver us, we start in our minds to ask the question, does God really know what's going on? Can you imagine humor here? They looking at Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who become a babe, born of the flesh, lived on this earth, was beaten, tortured, killed, hung on a cross, buried, and now is resurrected. And they asked him, "Jesus, do you know what's going on?" Of course Jesus knew what was going on. Hebrews said that we're not like Jesus. We've never resisted temptation. We've never resisted temptation to the point of death. Jesus resisted temptation. Jesus resisted sin to the point of death. Jesus knew exactly what's going on. Today, a lot of us do not know exactly what is going on in our lives. We don't know exactly how God is working around us. But God is aware of everything that is going on with the coronavirus, with our shelter in place, with our churches empty, with what we're thinking, with what we're talking about. David in Psalm 139 says that I can't depart from anywhere that God doesn't know me, know my inner thoughts, know all about me. And here, Jesus knows exactly what's going on. He also knows exactly what he's going to do to save us, to renew our relationship with him, to bring us through this. He understands and he knows all of this. And it says, so they go on to tell Jesus that in verse 22, that some of the women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning. They did not find the body, and they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And then some of those who were with us ran to the tomb and found it exactly like the women had said. But him they did not see. And he said to them, "Oh, foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." In other words, Jesus lightly rebukes them. Does Jesus need to lightly rebuke us this morning? Do we think that God does not know what's going on? Do we think that God doesn't understand and see that our lives are disrupted? Everything about life has changed? Do we need to understand that we need to be faster to spiritually appraise what is going on according to the Scripture. This is what Jesus is saying. You are spiritually slow. You're taking your time to appraise what's going on in this situation according to Scriptures. And then verse 27 says he explained, or this idea of explain is the idea of opening up to them the things concerning himself in the Scriptures. In other words, Jesus opened up the Scriptures and explained how he was the answer to all the promises in the Scripture. Because Jesus lived, died, and was resurrected, because he lives today, we can know that all the promises of God are true. We can know that when Jesus gives us his word, we can trust that word. And look at verse 28. It says, and they were as they was approaching the village where they were going, he acted as though he was going farther. Jesus has got a sense of humor. They're going along. They're almost home, and Jesus acts like he's going farther. Sometimes when Jesus seems so far away from us, seems like he's going on without us, it's because he wants to give us the opportunity to draw closer to him. He wants to develop a deeper desire, a deeper longing in us to want to just stay and hold on to him. Remember in the Old Testament, Jacob, when he wrestled with the angel of God, he grabbed hold of him and wouldn't turn loose. And the angel of the Lord said, turn loose. And he says, I'll not turn you loose till you bless me. When was the last time you grabbed on to Jesus and said, I'm not turning loose till you bless me? Lord, I'll stay here and pray until I understand what you're doing. Lord, I'm going to keep reading your word till I see how it fits in my life today. Lord, please, I'm going to hold you till you bless me. Let me think, let me feel, let me know that you are the Lord of life and the giver of life, and that you can take me and do with me the things that you have planned, and that you will bless me and those around me because I want to stay close to you. That's what these men said. They urged him, saying, stay with us. When was the last time you asked Jesus to stay with you? When was the last time a service completed and when you went out the door, you said, Jesus, get in the car with me. Jesus, go to lunch with me. Jesus, go home with me. Lord, I need you to change my family. I need you to change my outlook on life. Lord, I need you just to stay with me today. Today is Easter, and we didn't get together this morning at our churches. But you know what? We can ask Jesus to stay with us and keep us close all day. They encouraged Jesus to stay with them. Verse 30 says that when he went in and reclined at the table with them, he took the bread, he blessed it, breaking it, he began giving thanks, and then he began giving it to them. And look what happened. He opened the Scriptures that they could understand about him, and then he opened their eyes so that they could realize Jesus had been with them all the time. It says their eyes was open and they recognized him, and then look what happened. He vanished from their sight. Sometimes when we stay close to Jesus and we have that moment of clarity in prayer, in Scripture reading, when we know for certain that Jesus is alive, that we can face tomorrow, that everything is going to be all right. When we get up from our prayer time, when we close our Bible, all of a sudden, all that closeness to Jesus vanishes from us. And if we don't do something right that moment, we don't stay close to Jesus. Look what they did. It says that they said to one another, were not our hearts burning? When God gives us this closeness, this recognition of what the Scripture says about him, of who he is, when we've got this clear vision of Jesus, it sets our hearts on fire. It rekindles a desire in us to know Christ, to recommit to Christ, to trust Christ. When we get like that, when we understand that that moment of clarity God gave us is so we can face tomorrow. It's not that Jesus has left us by ourselves. It is that he is moving on and wants us to come with him. Look what happens. They got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. Earlier in the day, they had left Jerusalem defeated, in doubt, uncertain, give up, they had gone home. And now, because they know that Jesus Christ lives, they said, we can face tomorrow. They turned around and went right back into the circumstances that had stole their hope, squashed their dreams, and they went right back into that situation. And verse 33 says that when they got up and went to Jerusalem, they found gathered together the 11, Judas is gone, the 11 and those who were with them, probably the 70. And verse 34 says that the Lord has already risen and has appeared to Simon. So when they walk in, the disciple says, guess what? The Lord's risen. Hey, he's appeared to Peter. And then these two disciples coming from Emmaus, they begin to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of bread. Jesus will personally engage us when we lose hope. Also, we can expect Jesus to open our minds to the power of the resurrection. Look what happens. While they was telling these things, he, or Jesus himself, stood in the midst of them and said, peace be with you. Isn't that a comforting thought? That God not only gives us a word in our time of need or our time of uncertainty, but Jesus personally engages us and spends time with us, drawing us into a deeper desire to be with him, to follow him, to trust him. But also he gives us this peace. He brings us this peace by teaching us to live in the power of the resurrection. It says when he said, peace be with you, that they were startled and frightened and thought they'd seen a spirit. Verse 38, and he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands, see my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit cannot have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. Verse 41, while they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, have you anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate it before them. Jesus let them see that it is not just a spiritual thing. It is not just something pie in the sky. Jesus was physically resurrected in the body. He stood before them, fully God, fully man, resurrected, to enter back into heaven, to intercede for us at the right hand of God. It is a real thing. The resurrection really happened. We can expect Jesus to open our minds to understand the power of the resurrection. Verse 44 says that he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of the prophets, in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their mind to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, the promise of the Holy Spirit to empower us to live in resurrection power. But you are to stay here in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. As we think about what Jesus is teaching us, as he engages us, as Jesus opens our minds, we can understand that sometimes it's easy to dismiss the power of the resurrection. We can think that it's a fable, or we might think, yeah, that'll be good when I'm resurrected and I'm in heaven in the end times. But if we will investigate it ourselves, we might still be left puzzled. But if we're searching out, how can I face tomorrow? What difference does it make that Jesus was resurrected? We can expect Jesus to encounter us and that we would accept that. Jesus encountered these disciples with the Scripture. As he encountered them with the Scriptures, he taught them many things. He taught them who he was, what he was doing, and he encountered them with these Scriptures that they could come to accept that the resurrection was real. And now that he's opened their mind, we can begin to understand the resurrection, and also we can start to live in its power. Think about what he was explaining to them. Can you imagine the next time you've lost hope? You don't understand. You're uncertain of your situation. You don't think God's even included you in his plans. These men was expecting Jesus, the Messiah, to politically stomp out the Roman oppression and deliver them and set them free right then. But now that Jesus had died, was buried, they don't know where his body is. They thought, God's not even included me in his plan. I don't know what God's doing. How can we be encouraged? We can remember what the Scripture says about Jesus. Jesus says he is the hero of the Bible. He is the Redeemer. He is the Savior. He's the one that will help us. When you open up the Bible and start to read, you'll see that Jesus is the promised offspring in Genesis 3:15. You'll see that my Jesus is the suffering servant in Isaiah 53. You'll see that he is the one that was pierced for our transgressions in Zechariah 12:10. You can see that he is the messenger of the new covenant in Malachi 3:1. He is the great and the new prophet of Deuteronomy 18:15. He is the suffering one prophesied about in Psalm 22. He is the resurrected one in Psalm 16, verses 9 through 11, and the resurrected Savior in Isaiah 53, 10, and 11. You know, today, we're uncertain about what is going to happen. We're uncertain when we will have a cure or a vaccine for the coronavirus. But what we can learn from the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that it was a historical fact. The tomb was empty. As we look at God's Word, and he opens up the Scriptures to open up our eyes, we will see that not only was the tomb open and Jesus' body gone, but Jesus lives to fulfill everything the Bible has told us and continues to teach us about God's truthfulness, God's redemption, and God's plan for our lives. We can also trust God to deepen our desire to draw nearer to him in times of uncertainty, in times of fear, in times of doubt, in times of uncertainty, of lost hope. We can expect Jesus to open our minds to understand that Scripture is speaking about him and teaching us how much he cares about the world. The message of the resurrection, according to N.T. Wright, teaches us that the world matters. Because Jesus rose from the dead physically, we learn that God, through Christ, intends to reclaim and restore all that he made in creation before he saw it corrupted through the original fall of our ancestors, Adam and Eve. In eternity, we will be opened to live in a new world much like the Garden of Eden. Christ knows where we're at inside and out. He meets us personally in the context of his word. When we don't understand what's going on, expect Jesus to personally engage you, open up the Scriptures, to open up our eyes, that our hearts will be filled with trust in him to deliver us. I asked you today that the next time you don't recognize what Jesus is doing, understand that sometimes he is hiding what he's doing from us so that we can base our understanding of the resurrection solely on Scripture. These disciples learned to base their belief on the resurrection on Scripture before they saw Jesus acting on their behalf. When we remember God's Word, we can be witnesses to the truth of the gospel and the validity of the resurrection in the already, not yet, world that we live in. Christ has already ushered in the reign of God, but it's not complete yet till He returns. But while we are here, we should commit to proclaim His name to all the nations. Jesus says this is the gospel, that you believe that Christ would suffer, rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sin would be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning right where we are today. If you're here today and you've never understood or recognized the power of the resurrection, it is this simple. With eyes closed, heads bowed, and hearts open, say, Lord, as I hear about your resurrection, I understand the necessity and the truth of the gospel that you come, that you was handed over to sinful men and you died for my sins, that you was buried and that you was raised on the third day. Lord, I believe that my sins are paid for, and I'm asking you to forgive me. And I'm asking you to give me a new life that I can live in the resurrection power, that I may be committed to facing tomorrow with certainty as I proclaim the truths of your resurrection. If you've been a Christian for a long time, you look forward to Easter every year, but the rest of the year you're just kind of going through the motions. Today's today to learn, to expect Jesus to open your mind to live in the power of the resurrection. Ask Jesus that you see Him for who He is, the Savior that Scripture proclaims, and that as you see Him working in your life, that you'd proclaim that to others. As we see that these ladies went to the tomb uncertain, they returned because they could face tomorrow, because they realized Jesus is not among the dead. He's living. As these disciples went home defeated, when they realized that Jesus was alive, they turned around and went back to Jerusalem because they said, we can face tomorrow. Christian, believer, because Jesus lives, we can face tomorrow no matter what comes our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. I'm glad we could gather together and look at this text that reveals the expectations that we can have because the resurrection is true. Jesus lived on this earth. He lived the life that we should have lived. He died the death we deserve. He was buried. And God raised Him that we may have a receipt, understanding and knowing that we can be made right before God. No matter what's going on in this world, when we are in right standing before God, we can always face tomorrow. Thank you, and I ask that you continue to study God's Word, to pray, to spend time with God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Mm-hmm.